Keldabe Talk Radio, the official podcast of the Mandalorian Mercs. We're a costume organization dedicated to charity efforts around the globe, defending events in Mandalorian armor we've built by hand. Here on the show, we'll keep you up to date with the latest fan community news. Visit our website at www.mandalorianmercs.com.
And welcome back to another episode of Keldabe Talk Radio. I am Biohazard, your host. And with me tonight, I have Mr. Frost Kamon from our Talon Clan in North Carolina.
Hello.
And Mr. Thaxos from Vetna Day in Winnipeg.
Hello, hello.
We have Maria Ladenla from Maine with me.
Hey, guys.
Nikki Brown, who is...
Who's going to screw up the whole thing.
Okay.
Hold on.
Nikki.
Ms. Cloris Lusar from Washington.
Hey, guys.
And Mr. Crow from Wampa Clan.
Hello.
And we have a special guest tonight, Mr. Tom Hutchins, the founder of our club.
How come I don't get my Mando name shout out?
I have to go and screw it all.
How come I don't get my Mando name? What the heck's up with that?
Because you're not anonymous. You're the founder.
Oh, man.
Okay. Anonymous.
Okay, for those of you who may not know, he is Noval Talon on our forum.
Hey, since up? When?
What up?
Since a couple days ago, at least.
Wait, who's this guy?
Mr. Star Wars.
Oh, yeah, right. He's Mr. Star Wars. That's right.
So, we got a good episode for you tonight. Obviously, it's a new year. It's 2012. Obviously, we're recording this a little bit before that, but we'll play along with you. We got some changes for you, if you might have noticed already. We got a new website, and that's been worked on for a long time by the web team led by Noval. Tom, you want to go into it a little bit and explain what's going on with that?
Sure. Well, technically, I don't lead the web team. That would be Tagler Dresk, but yeah, sure. Let's go into what, you know, what all we've changed, and those of you that have seen the website by now see that it's changed quite a bit. We went with a much more clean layout than what we've used in the past as far as theme goes, something that pops a little bit more on the internet. The old theme that we used was basically a theme that, you know, we found when we put the forums up, which was done in a hurry, in kind of a frantic hurry, because the original forums, you know, died. Mm-hmm. And Tag and I put all this up, and then over the years, Tag and Bio have both done a lot of editing to that current theme, so we decided with the release of the new forum software, we needed to go with something with a new theme and, you know, change the layout to something that we really wanted to work for Mercs. So...
Mm-hmm. And it is a obviously not to get too much into the artistic web stuff, but it is a fluid layout, so it should resize with your windows. I will go ahead and just say that it is still a work in progress, as it always is. So if you have a bug, if you find something that breaks or is a weird color, just send me a PM and I will look into it and see if we can fix it.
Yeah, make sure you send Bio or Tag the PMs, because if you send me the PMs, I'm just going to, like, you know, I'm going to send it to Bio or Tag. And
you'll just make Tom mad.
Yeah, I'll just come through the computer and hit you over the head with a tack hammer repeatedly. No, I'm just kidding. I wouldn't really do that. But.
Yes, you would.
Just because you haven't developed the power to do it yet.
Exactly.
So everybody here has seen the new site, and what do you think of it, Frost?
Well, it certainly looks a little bit cleaner, I would say. The frames don't look exactly the same. Why are we even talking about this to the viewers? They all see it.
Because it's an interesting topic.
Oh, okay. Well, it looks smooth and cool and pretty.
So hopefully we, all you guys out there, like it, and we've worked hard on it.
Yeah, it's been several months. We've actually been working on this since, May or June of 2011. So,
yeah.
And we've got some other things that are going to be implemented. We're working on an award system that, you know, it may or may not be done by the time the forum goes, you know, has gone live. An award system for official members and for clans, and that's pretty much where it stops at the moment. But the potential was, you know, we've got potential to use it for any kind of award. But we're working on that, and there'll be more details about that as, you know, as it progresses. But so yeah, that's, you know, all this new software kind of opens up a whole new realm of possibilities that we just didn't have with the old software. So mm-hmm. we're taking full advantage of it.
Yeah.
As it comes, yeah.
Basically, Tagler just got sick of all the form tags it had, so they had to make awards instead so they could hide it.
Yeah, but
we will have new tags for the new site.
Yeah, I don't
want to be smaller.
I don't want to mention what Sean's new tag is going to be. It's, you know.
He doesn't get one.
It'll just be like the little Facebook like button.
It is a little like with a little thumbs up. It's a little thumbs
pair of antlers on it too.
He'll have the thumbs up position in Mercs. So, also with the new site, we have a couple other changes to the club, actually. Our previously known as Verdica Fund, which is our own little charity thing that we run, giving out some money to local chapters to give to families that are in need. We're changing that over to the Little Warrior Fund.
The language people speak.
Yeah, well, I mean, Verdica literally means, you know, little warrior or small warrior, and we're making the fund an actual mainstream. We're turning it into an actual charity organization. So in doing that, we can't use any kind of wording that would, you know, that is copyrighted by Lucasfilm. So so we just decided to take the literal name, which is Little Warrior, and turn it into, you know, the Little Warrior Foundation. So,
and incidentally, you'll actually be able to say it without sounding dumb.
I know. People will be like, wow, okay, that's cool, instead of, what the heck did you just say?
Yeah. As opposed to being like, you're a member of a cult.
Yeah, are you a Klingon? What is that? A Verdica? What the heck is that?
Fleshback talk, Nodar.
Exactly.
Something.
Oh, Frost, knowing you, that probably actually means something in Klingon, doesn't it?
I don't know. Patah! I know that one does. I mean, operate Star Trek, okay? Don't hate.
Yeah. So the Little Warrior Fund will operate the same way the Verdica Fund does, for the most part, I would assume. Are we going to have a higher limit for 2011 this year?
Well, yeah, we actually... For 2012, we actually surpassed our... For 2011, we surpassed what we made in 2010. I'm trying to think now. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but we made...
You might want to say raised instead of made, guy.
Well, yeah, we raised. We raised... You know, well,
you want people to think you're stuffing it in your big Mandalorian
Uniter
pockets.
It's we raised about almost $3,000, which is more than we raised last year. I think last year we did around between 2,000 and 2,500. So, mm-hmm. And you know, we've sent it to three separate,
exactly 2,700.
Yeah, so we sent it to three different places this year, and we had to keep a reserve back because of we're doing the business, you know, the 501c3, the charity, the nonprofit side of things, and we got to have some money for that because it's definitely not free. It's going to cost about $1,000 to get that up and running. But you know, so we sent out some money to an applicant out in San Diego, who's actually a Mercs member, and then we sent some to the Delta Squad boss's daughter, and I'm trying to remember what we sent. We sent some more out for something else, and I can't remember it off the top of my head. But we, like I said, we did three different things this year, which is good. I mean, it's a little bit less than we did last year, but a lot of that is because we do have to, you know, have a reserve for the 501c3. So
mm-hmm. Well, that's a new thing for next year as well, right?
What's that?
The 501c3. That's
oh yeah, that'll be new for next year, and that'll be something that.
Or this year.
Yeah, I'm sorry for this year. This year, my bad.
We're in 2012.
No. Pretend.
Yeah, it feels weird, but no. We only have 11 months and 22 days left. But,
it's the Twilight Zone.
Yeah. But no, basically what it is that the 501c3 it's a nonprofit charity organization. That's just the IRS classification for it. But yeah, it will be a separate entity from the Mercs. It'll basically be like, you know, it'll be its own organization outside of Mercs. And, you know, I'll be the person heading it up, but I don't know that we'll have any other Mercs in the actual governance of the fund. So,
mm-hmm. But the Mercs will be the basically the spokespeople
right.
for it.
Right, Mercs will be like the spokesperson wing for the Little Warrior Foundation. So,
mm-hmm.
Which will be cool because, you know, everything that the Little Warrior Foundation does will spotlight, you know, what the Mercs do. So that'll be pretty neat. It'll be good for both, you know. So,
mm-hmm. And we're actually the first Star Wars costume club to do this, aren't we?
Yeah, we are the first costume club to actually have our own charity organization.
We're the best. Well, yeah.
Well, we're out there on our own. Also coming in 2012 is Regional Commanders, which is going to be a new position opened up for voting, and that will provide a voice to the council for everybody, not just clans.
That's correct. Basically, what Regional Commanders are, it's a position that's elected by the clan leaders of a region, and there's going to be several regions to start out with. There's already a European region, there's a Latin American region, we're going to have a region for like the Pacific area, which will include Australia and Malaysia. Mm-hmm. We'll have three regions in the United States, a western, a central, and a eastern, and then we'll have one region in over Canada. And yeah, and what will happen is in these regions, the clan leaders in these regions will vote on who their regional commander will be for that region. And, you know, they'll have input from, of course, their clan members. You know, each clan leader will be able to nominate somebody and that kind of thing. So, you know, basically the way the regional commanders work is they'll be liaison between the council and the clans in their region. They'll be in charge of things like making sure clans do their reporting. They'll be able to help with the formation of new squads and clans. And then they'll be able to vote. Regional commanders will be able to collectively vote on things that that go along with like codex changes and things like that. So,
And will that position be announced for like taking applicants?
What we've already done is we've already announced it to the clan leaders. And since clan leaders will be nominating somebody, we're kind of depending on the clan leaders to disseminate a good deal of that information, but we'll also have a news post as far as regional commanders go. We'll have a news post for that in the beginning of January saying, hey, this is going live. You may want to inquire with your clan leader on, you know, if you have any questions or if you have somebody you'd like to see nominated, talk to your clan leader, that kind of thing. So We really want to get the members involved with their clan leaders in getting this, you know, getting the regional commanders elected, because that's, you know, it really boils down to what clan leaders feel like is in the best interest of their clan. You know, the council really has we have very little bearing on who gets elected as far as regional commanders. So
Oh, it sounds like it'd be a good thing, especially for people who don't have a clan in their area, necessarily.
Right, because the thing about that too is that Freelancers Guild, people who are members of Freelancers Guild, the Guildmaster Freelancers Guild will also be considered on par with that regional commander's job. So even if they're unrepresented, even if a member is unrepresented, you know, without a clan or a squad, they'll still have somebody who, you know, speaks for them in sense of, you know, things that happen at a regional and above level. So
What he means to say is they will be represented.
Right. They will be represented.
They may not have a clan, but they're still going to be represented in the council level discussion by their Regicom.
Right.
Right. And if you want to join the Freelancers Guild, all you have to do is just send a message to the clan admin officer, and they'll get you set up with an account if you don't have a clan in your area.
Right, and since we really don't have you can also message the Aelor, Darian Ordo, and he can help you out too with freelancers. Mm-hmm. That was his brainchild, so I've also, you know, said, hey, you know, do what you can. So him and the clan admin officer will be the two people who will be heading up freelancers. So
He's going to kill you when he sees his inbox.
Nah.
January 1st is like 500 new.
What? Well, it's been slow for the last month or so. So, you know, he needs something to do. So that's all good.
He's been feeling lonely. He wants attention.
So also we have a lot new for the clan leaders. Mostly we have some new print media, new banners, new pamphlets and stuff. You can look in the clan leader section for that. We have the old marble skull is no longer going to be officially recognized by the club, so you will have to replace any media that you have with that skull on it. Those are the old red, greenish, tannish marble looking skulls that were produced back in like 2008 to 2010, around
I think
there.
It was the 2000 Because we in 2008 we were still using the red symbol. That's when we phased it in 2009.
Yeah, so somewhere in those areas.
Yeah, 2009 was the active one, and then in the end of 2009 was when we switched over to the new symbol, the Wolverine-looking one.
So yeah, that symbol is the only one that we're going to officially recognize, and that's just because the artist that created the old symbol is no longer with the Mercs, so we can't really hold on to that symbol anymore since he never gave us permission.
Right, and you know, one of the things to keep in mind too is that, you know, if a clan submits an invasion report that uses that old banner, we will not be putting that invasion report up on the website.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and if you want a new banner, you can take a look at the new designs, and you can send Arden a message. Arden Fisk is our quartermaster, and she'll help you get an order set up. I'll put the banner together and we'll get it sent out to you. We have a new system for that. You can look in the clan leader section for that for more information.
And it's very painless. It's very painless. Yes. That's the key to the thing, is that it's painless. You don't have to worry about anything short of saying, hey, we want a banner, and you know, we'll take it from there. So.
Yeah, and we've gotten some really good deals, so probably a lot better than you'll find at a local print shop.
Yep. Unless you have your own large format printer on hand.
Well, not every one of us is special, Tom.
That's true. That's true. Not everybody is Mr. Star Wars, so.
Yeah.
I would say the design of the new banner definitely looks a whole lot better, too.
Yeah, I like it quite a bit. If you haven't seen it yet, it's a white banner with some, like, grunge effects on it, and the text really pops out, and it's good. It's really good for nighttime parades and darker convention halls. It really pops. You can see it from a long ways away.
All of them, basically.
Better than black banners.
He's very nice.
Because, you know, I was not biased in this at all.
I'm not. No, I'm looking at it completely objectively.
He was completely unrelated in its creation.
So all of these changes are, in part, at least, to celebrate the Merc's 5-year birthday, which we'll be celebrating this year.
Yes, 5 years old. Wow.
Can you believe it? Yeah, you've been living Star Wars for 5 years. How about that?
I'm telling you.
I imagine it was a little easier back in the day.
Yeah.
The PM box wasn't full by 12 by noon.
It wasn't. It was less stressful back in the day, no doubt about that.
I was about to say, well, his inbox is probably full by 7 a.m. more than...
Yeah, well, you know, yeah, it's full of new, let's see, it's full of new Mercs members. That's usually what it's full of, because every time we get a new member on the forums, I get an update. So it's either spammer, it's either a spammer, or it's, you know, an actual, you know,
yeah,
somebody,
a person, a human being.
So I get to go through the forums every single day and see if we have new spammers or spammers. Or not. In fact, that's my favorite thing. That's always been my favorite thing in the last 5 years. My favorite thing is banning and deleting spam accounts. I still love to do that. I still do that every morning. And it's actually funny because Tagler will call me and he'll be like, dude, you got that spammer before I could. I'm like, yep, that's my favorite thing, killing spammers.
I think it's always funny, like, the ones, like, it seems like a legitimate post, but then there's just, like, links, like, hidden inside of them.
Oh, yeah, well, then you have to check their profile. You have to look on their profile for what website they have on their profile, and if it's, like, you know, Bob's AC repair, it's like, oop, time to nuke, you know, drop the bomb, bam, dead.
One of these days you're going to get an AC repair guy that just happens to link to his own business.
Yeah, then I'll feel bad. I'll be like, oh,
I was about
sorry.
To say, then you'll feel like an ass.
Well, if he types a story as horribly as these spam bots do, yeah. Then maybe he doesn't need to be on the internet anyway.
I love the whole...
I mean, there's some bad grammar on the Mercs.
I love that. Well, I love the whole post. It's like, my name is Habib from Pakistan. I would love to get to know you better. Oh, man.
So, yeah, scammers do suck. I hate them. But 5 years, and Tom has been with us the entire time.
Well, unfortunately.
So, Tom, do you want to go in a little bit for some of the new members, like how the club started, where you got the inspiration to get this mess going?
You got it from
sure.
Me.
I'll try to keep it abridged. I'll try to keep it abridged because there's a much better explanation in the new member handbook that'll be coming out. That's, you know, kind of like a letter that I wrote that explains how I incepted, you know, how Mercs was incepted and all that stuff. But I'll keep it abridged since I know we're on a time limit here. Basically,
yeah. Actually, what? And also we did do a full interview with Tom a year or two ago. So if you want to get a little bit more in depth into it, I actually asked a lot more questions. I'm just going to let him go into this. I'll let you finish, Tom.
Sure.
But you gave a full interview from a couple episodes ago, or from a year or two ago in episodes. So go back and look for that if you want a little bit more detail.
And you'll be able to hear the flashback music when you listen to it. It'll be like. But anyway, Mercs actually started as a guild in Star Wars Galaxies called Mandalorian Mercenaries. We were small. We started out with five people to make a PA, a player association is what they were called. And my wife was one of our original members, my actual real life wife, who was my in-game wife before we married in real life. It's kind of confusing, but anyway. We started Mercs, and we're mostly just mercenaries and that kind of thing. And I went to a Dragon Con in 2006. It was the first year I'd ever been to Dragon Con, and I saw some guys in custom Mando armor just kind of standing around. They were kind of doing their own thing, but they were really neat looking. One guy had a Z6 rotary cannon type blaster that rotated and that kind of stuff. And it was just awesome because it was like, man, I play one of these in the game. People actually have the armor that, they have their own custom armor. That's awesome. So I started doing research on the internet and seeing, is there any kind of group out there, like an actual group that troops as Mandalorians, as non-canon or custom Mandalorians or variants, as we were called way back in the early days.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and there really was no group. There was an online forum called Heroes, Villains, and Mandalorians that seemed to be where most of the custom Mandos kind of hung out. And then there was a custom Mandalorian armor board on the dented helmet, which is still there today. And those are the two places where people congregated. And most people who post on Heroes, Villains, and Mandalorians also post on TVH. So there was always familiar faces there. And I started poking around at HVM. The Heroes, Villains, Mandalorians, and saw where some people had tried to kind of start a group, but there was a lot of people saying, "Nah, we don't need to do that. Why do we need a trooping group? We just let's just go out and put armor on and do whatever we want to do." And the more I got to thinking about it, the more I was like, if people were actually serious about making this armor and wearing it, they need some sort of physical ordered representation. Otherwise, they're just going to be going to conventions. Nobody's ever going to. I mean, they're going to say, "Oh wow, there's a colored Boba Fett." They're never going to really
Power
be
Power Ranger.
Yeah, Power Ranger. They're never really going to be taken seriously unless there's some sort of centralized representation for the group. There were several pocket groups of Mandos out there, so I got with those guys, and I'm like, "Look, these are my ideas. This is what I'd like to do. I think it can work, but I've got to have you guys on board." And it was actually funny because, Tagler, the comms officer, he was one of the people who was very much against the idea of doing a group like Mercs. And,
I bet he still regrets it.
I was about to say, I remember getting an invite from you in 2007, way back in the day, and being like, "This guy's a creep."
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, because it was something that, nobody really, it never had really been tried before, on any kind of mainstream. And, there was just the 501st and the Rebel Legion. And the Rebel Legion still was, in 2007, they were decent size, but they weren't that big. I think they may have had 1,000 people maximum in 2007. So, they weren't that big of a group, but the 501st was pretty big. And they had just had what they called the Great Purge, which threw out in all the non-canon costumes in the 501st, and most of those guys were custom Mandos. So, we kind of inherited those guys. We inherited, I pulled together the pocketed groups out there and it just started convincing people who were anti-group to join the group because, it was...
Because we believe in conformity.
Well, it's not so much conformity. It's like I said, you really, if you ever want to be a real... A presence to be taken seriously, there has to be some sort of group, and there has to be a vision there that people agree with, and people say, "Oh man, yeah, I think that would be a great idea. I know we can do it if we just put our minds together and do it." And that's basically what I did. I told everybody, "Hey, we can do this. We've just got to be on the same page and do it." And we did, and we're still doing it. And I've kind of had this roadmap that I planned out at the beginning of everything that said, "Well, this is where I want Mercs to be in 5 years and in 10 years and in, 20 years and whatever." And right now, we're following that roadmap pretty much to the letter. And, I know that not everybody might believe that, but everything so far is, everything has transpired according to my design, as the Emperor has said.
You're saying that in the earliest draft of your roadmap, that was how it looked.
Yeah, pretty much. I kind of put together the diagram of how I wanted Mercs to be, and we're going down that path to just about 100%. So, you know, it's I have to give a lot of credit to the council and to members of the council, because without their hard work, none of this stuff would have happened. I mean, you know, one person can have a vision, but one person can't make that vision happen by themselves. It really takes the resources, the time, and the energy of a lot of people. And, you know, while I sit here and I can say, well, yeah, I founded the group, it definitely wasn't all my work alone that has gotten the group to where it is. It's, you know, the council, the admin staff, the clan leaders, you know, all the way down to just the John Q new member, you know, joining up. It's really, it's everybody's club. It's not just my club. It's everybody's club.
No, it's mine.
Yeah. Well, it is. I mean, it is yours. It's yours, and it's Ian's, and it's Cora's.
No, it's just mine.
Well, you suck. But no, anyway. I mean, it really is. It's everybody's club. You know, it's not like, you know, I try not to be the person that sits at the top and dictates orders, because that, you know, I don't ever want to be known as the dictator of the club, or the person that ran the club into the ground, or the person who was just the you know, the guy that sat on the throne and never did anything. You know, I don't ever want to be known as that. So I've always, yeah, exactly. I don't want to be Dick Delore the Dick. So
I was thinking Dick Delore with a T.
This works too.
Yeah. I mean, I really don't. I always want people to, you know, I always want to make sure that people realize that I'm, you know, I'm out there pounding the ground just like everybody else. I'm doing troops. You know, I'm working hard to, you know, not just in Merc's best interest, but trying to get, you know, members the recognition that they deserve for being in Merc's. So, and it's not an easy job at all. It's very difficult, and it's very stressful, but it's one that I obviously enjoy, or I would not be doing it, you know. So it's made a better person out of me. I wanted to make a Facebook post the other day, because I get a little irritated with things that I see, you know, with businesses and that kind of stuff in my own job. And I wanted to make a Facebook post the other day saying, if you work for a business, I could probably run that business. So, but because one thing that Merc's has taught me is, you know, how to run a business, because, you know, Merc's is very much like a business, and, you know, you kind of have to run it as a business / government, you know, because that's exactly what it is. So
I could run too.
It kind of is tooting my own horn, but I, you know, it is something that Merc's has taught me, is, you know, that there's always, you know, in every aspect of an organization, there are business and governmental principles. And if you don't embrace that, and, you know, then it's never going to be successful, because you're not, you know, you're not going to grow. You're not going to, you know, learn the things that you need to learn to be able to make the right decisions. So, you know, that's with anybody. That's with any organization. So anybody who wants to start their own organization, remember those words that, you know, you need to have some. You need to learn to grasp the fundamentals of, you know, business and governmental organization, because it's going to go a long way to helping you organize a group. So,
mm-hmm. So over the last 5 years, is there anything that you've seen that's really like made you? This is kind of a loaded question, but made you proud of the group? Like, what aspects of it have you really, like, have surprised you and made you proud to have created it?
Well, I think one of the things that – I think the thing that I'm really the most proud of is the fact that everybody comes together for one reason, and that is – because we all – well, for two reasons, honestly. It's because we all love Star Wars, and we all love Mandalorians. And it doesn't matter what our backgrounds are. It doesn't matter where we're from in the world. We all have those same two things in common. And, you know, it doesn't – I mean, you can do and say anything else. But at the end of the day, you have to acknowledge the fact that you have something in common with somebody in Germany, with somebody in Malaysia, with somebody in England, with somebody in the state next to you, with somebody in Mexico, in Brazil, in Argentina. I mean, you've got something in common with people all over the world. And to me, that makes me proud, because it shows that, you know, we can all work together as humans, not just as people from different countries, but as humans, we can all come together for a common goal and be able to be successful at that goal. You know, and I think that's what makes me the most proud, is to see so many people from all across the planet coming together to make something successful and something possible. So,
so where do you want to see Mercs in 5 years?
In five years,
I've got that written down.
Yeah, I want to see Mercs take over the world. No, I want to be president.
Jeremy looking for that.
Jeremy Bullock, yeah.
I want to be president of the world, and I want
Well, you've seen the bumper stickers.
Yeah, exactly. Mandalore 12. Well, the world's gonna end this year anyway, so it's not gonna matter. What I want to see in 5 years, I would love to see, and I'm not gonna sit here and say I want to see an organization that's 1,000 people strong. It's not the size that matters, and I don't care who disagrees with that statement. Yoda said it best. He said size matters not, and that's the truth. It's not the quantity, it's the quality. Yeah,
but Yoda's a shrimp, so I mean...
Oh my gosh. No, it's the quality. I always want to see, and that's something, you know, that I always want to see the quality of our membership always is in improving. It's always improving. You see people's kits improving all the time. There's nobody who's just a member who's not evolving their kit or moving it onward and that kind of thing. And in five more years, I would love to see, you know, I would love to see Star Wars acknowledge the Mandalorian character and know that we as Mercs had an impact on that character. Mm-hmm. That I think that would be one of the greatest legacies for Mercs, that they're, you know, to say, hey, you know, those characters right there, you know, those characters are inspired from the Mercs organization. And I think that would be awesome. You know, I think that would be something awesome. And do I think that'll happen? I think it has the potential to happen, yes.
It has happened, what, twice so far, right?
As
individual characters being written into canon.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I'm talking more as...
Well, I know it, but I mean, yeah. It's not out of the realm of possibilities based on that.
Right, yeah. I mean, there's been some that have been written into canon, but I'm talking more of a visual, you know, and more of a...
He wants the same level of recognition that the 501st got when they got penned into one of the movies.
I hope that one day we're able to attain that level of recognition as well. You know, it's... I'm not saying that you know, that's the end-all, be-all for Mercs. It's not, because we are more of an independently minded group than the other two groups. In fact, I think that's one of the things that make us so, you know, so great and sought after, is the fact that we are more independently minded. But, you know, we have had a large impact on Star Wars in the last, you know, in our 5 years. I would say the last 2 years, we've begun having a fairly good impact on Star Wars. And I'm sure that's at some point going to come to fruition in the next 5 years.
Mm-hmm. So. Well, I mean, I don't know much about the Clone Wars because I haven't been following it, but it seems like some more of custom Mando elements have been creeping in. Obviously, we had the Death Watch, which really brought Mandos to the forefront again.
And
while they were more uniform, the new trailers seem to suggest that there are, at least in some areas, more custom-looking characters.
Yeah, I think, like I said, I think it's out there. I mean, I think it's something that's probably going to happen at some point. There's no way I can put a timetable or a schedule on it. But I think that, you know, I think that recognition will happen at some point.
Yeah. So. I mean, we've had such good relations with, you know, actors and with the community people, like, you know, Mary Franklin and Steve Sansweet really loved us to death. And I mean, you know, like Dave Filoni, I mean, you know, he was scared of the NAST guys, but once he actually met them, you know, honorary membership, you know, hung out with them for a while. I mean, that's got to have some kind of impact at some point.
Oh yeah, I'm sure it will, you know, and you know, we definitely don't do what we do for that recognition, but it's always nice to, you know, to get the carrot every now and then. You know, it's always nice to get that carrot and say, hey man, you know, yeah, we know you guys are out there busting hump to, you know, to do your thing and to do your thing for Star Wars and that kind of thing. So, I mean, it's always nice to get that carrot. We're not looking for it, but it's still nice, you know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely.
Well, carrots are delicious.
They are. Horses love them, too.
And they're good for your eyesight.
Yep.
A little fan service every now and then. It's not too bad.
Well, so long as it's not like, you know, that new DC Comics fan service, you know.
Well,
yeah.
Well.
We're not going to get into that.
This is a Star Wars show, Frost. Even though we've spent like hours talking about Warcraft and...
And he's already started speaking Klingon on the show now, so...
Yeah, yeah, 5 years we'll probably just be a fan force.
We'll be a Klingon fan group. We're gonna, yeah, we're gonna morph the Klingon.
Oh God!
Klingon,
do you guys remember that the
Chrono Smurfs?
Yeah, you guys remember the April Fool's joke from 2008? That was fantastic. The club turned into this Star Trek costuming club.
I loved that. That was great.
Oh man. You guys will never realize the amount of emails and PMs I got in one day. I bet I had about 10 pages of PMs and emails from people.
Rage!
Yeah, they were raging. They, you know, 3/4 of people were raging, and the other quarter was like, "Oh, that's so funny, man. You know, I love the joke." But, you know, it was like, there were so many people. It's like, if, you know, I'm quitting the Mercs because you guys dirt into Star Trek, and it's a blasphemy and all that, and I'm like,
dirty Trekkies.
Yeah. They're traitors. And I'm like, dude, April Fools. Look at your
I mean, I immediately changed my picture to that of like a Romulan sub commander and changed my banner to have like the Romulan Star Empire thing in it. And changed my form name to Commander like Taporn Shrike or something. You know?
Did you say Commander Taporn?
Taporn, but I mean, you could say Taporn. But,
wow. Yeah, for those who may not have been around, April Fool's 2008, as they said, we changed the site to a Star Trek theme, and we announced that we were completely changing to a Star Trek-based club. Because what was our excuse? That, like, the costumes were too expensive or something?
Yeah, I can't remember what it was. Yeah, something like that.
So, and that was right before the 2009 movie came out. Or, you know, it had... All the press stuff had started coming out about it, and everybody was getting all jazzed, and they were like, "Yo, we're changing the Star Trek Club." And Tom, I'm gonna go ahead and apologize for the amount of email you got that day.
That's all right, that's part of it. The funny thing was then, and in 2007 when we did April Fools, all the council officers resigned for the day, and then they all posted it publicly. It was like, "Yeah, I'm just tired of this. We've been, you know, 2 months and we haven't done anything, and I'm resigning." You know. So
how many members did you have back then on the forum?
We had several forum members. We probably had like 100 forum members, but as far as like actual Mercs members, yeah, we might have had like anywhere between 15 to 20, you know, so.
It's like a quarter of the club just up and quit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Later, guys.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. It's like the core, yeah, it was like, well, we're gone, bye.
This sucks, I'm out.
You could hear crickets chirp, and this was back on the old forum too. This is
oh god.
Yeah. 2007 was the year that you know almost killed Tag and myself, because that was the year that we did the everybody resigned on April Fools, and then that was also the year that the original forum crashed one day.
Yeah, there was a forum death.
It happened in June, and it basically it just started eating accounts, and it started with the admin accounts. And John called me, a tag called me. He's like, "Dude, I can't sign in." And I'm like, "Okay, well maybe something's gone wrong." So I went to sign in. I couldn't sign in. And I'm like, "Oh crap!" You know, something is bad.
It developed sentience and is attacking you.
Yeah,
singularity.
Well, luckily, you know, Alicia, my wife, she was an admin on there as well, and I was able to sign into her account and, you know, move things and salvage as much as I could, tutorials and those kind of things, you know, using that. That's why her account on forums now is still an admin account in the event that, you know, if something were to happen, we still have that backdoor admin account. But, you know, anyway, yeah, so, you know, we had to feverishly come up with a new forum and all that. So that's the forums that we've been using for the last, you know, four and 3/4 years. So the first year we almost didn't make it, but we did. It took a lot of hard work, but we did.
And we probably should just thank a few key people that have really helped the Mercs along in its time. I mean, Art Andrews.
Yeah, from TDH.
Yeah. I mean, those guys have done an amazing job at helping us out and sharing table space with us at like Comic-Cons and stuff.
Well, they even fostered the custom Mando community before we existed.
Oh, yeah.
Like, well, sort of. I mean, I remember sometimes a less than friendly welcome at TDH, but they all warmed up to us eventually.
Yeah, I mean, it took a little bit, but, you know, as with anything, you have to grow on you. But, yeah, I have to give, you know, I have to give a lot of thanks to Art and TDH for, you know, for the opportunity. You know, they let us put a sticky thread up that's still there today. And if you go back on that sticky thread in the custom Mando boards, you can see when Mercs, you know, first started and all that. And, you know, I just have to say thanks to those guys, because without them, we wouldn't be here. You know,
one fat guy with a dream.
Yeah. Well, one, we might be here, but we wouldn't be here in our current form. So, but
anybody else that was instrumental? Like Mary Franklin.
Yeah, Mary Franklin definitely was instrumental.
Yeah, she's been helping us since the beginning, I think, hasn't she?
Yeah. I mean, I got in touch with her in June of 2007, and I've pretty much steadily been in communication with her since 2007. You know, on Merck, in Merck's behalf, on, you know, setting up events and that kind of thing, and she's always been very much on the spot with trying to get us some nice events. And really putting Mercs where out in the forefront.
Dry's cave collapse.
I was about to say, we may want to re-record that whole spiel, just because, like, you've got like a shopping cart banging against the in the background there.
That would be an ice maker in the background.
No, we'll leave it. We'll leave it. It's fine. it just like sounded like, you know, like he was like in the.
Like, you're just digging around in the desk.
It was just, like, crumbling around him.
Yeah, that was the Imperial AT-ATs. You know, the walkers were... They just blew up the power, the main power generator. So.
Yeah.
But,
I remember that there's a pic... I think the picture of her, for her honorary member picture, is the original 2007 shirt.
Because, let's see, I gave that to her in 2008. It was the 2008 shirt, and the reason why I know that is the 2008 shirt had the patch on the left shoulder, the right shoulder, I'm sorry, had the patch on the right, or the, had the Merc skull on the right shoulder, and the 2011 shirt had it on the, sorry, the 2007 shirt had it on the left shoulder.
Right.
I know, because I have all of the shirts, so, anyway.
Yeah.
Wait, so shoulder is which shirt?
The right shoulder was 2008. The left shoulder was 2007.
Well, let me check here real quick.
It's not that important.
It is for me. It's on the left shoulder. What year is that?
That's 2007.
Yeah. Yeah, retro.
There was only, like, what, like 15 or 20 of those?
Yeah, there was like 15 or 18 or something like that. There weren't many. Very few.
Yeah, so y'all see the left shoulder and you know.
That's a G1 shirt. That's a G1 player right there. It's a G1 Mercs player. But anyway. But yeah. So
that means that you better be given mad respect at this point. You are going mad down.
Props. Mad props.
Yeah. But, and Steve Stansweet did a lot for us. He was always
Steve's done a lot for us. He helped us out a lot with our disclaimer. He helped us out a lot with some of our patch runs and things like that. He's really been a very instrumental in helping.
Oh yeah, that's right. He gave us the elite tag, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah. He gave us the elite tag, the elite Mandalorian costuming group. So
nice.
That's
always a good thing to have somebody call you the elite.
That's true. That's, you know,
somebody that's in charge of fan relations.
And... Yep. Well, yeah. That's when he was still in charge of fan relations for Lucasfilm. So that definitely, you know, was a big thing for us. But yeah, Steve was, you know, he's been there to help out with any questions that we've had regarding merchandise or regarding, you know, what we can and can't do and that kind of thing. So,
he's super cool.
Yeah, he's really cool, very laid back guy. I'm hoping one day to make it out to Rancho Obi-Wan to see all.
Yeah, did you guys see that they opened it up for tours?
Yep.
No, I knew that they were going to do that. I didn't know that they had done it now. So
yeah, I think they're starting soon, if not already.
I guess I better get my helmet. I guess I better hurry up and get my helmet sent out there, right?
So, 5 years, long time.
And last but not least, I'd like to thank George Lucas, because without him, we wouldn't be doing what we're doing now. So, you know, big thanks out to George. And I have to thank, you know, the groups that came before us. I got to thank the 501st and the Rebel Legion, because they did kind of, you know, the 501st paved the way for all the costuming groups. Mm-hmm. And you have to thank them for that. And, you know, because without them doing what they did, you know, we probably wouldn't be here either. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Big thanks out to the 501st and Rebel Legion. And, you know, and I think it's worth acknowledging, too, that the relationship between all three groups has gotten so much better in the last, you know, I'd say in the last 12 months. Out of the last 5 years, this last year has been one of the best years for working together. And that says a lot there, too. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember relations weren't so hot when we first started out.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
The relations were nowhere near good when we first started out. But, you know, that's one of those things where people just don't like to – people don't like change. And, you know, we had to have – we all had to have tight pants and we had to really tighten ourselves up and say, hey, look, you know, we're here. We're not going anywhere. So, you know, either you work with us or don't work with us, but we're going to keep doing our thing. And we did. And, you know, we persevered. And that's what, you know, we had to be steadfast and resolute. And we were. And, you know, that's why we're still here. So,
yeah. Because, I mean, with a lot of those tensions, it was really just outlooks on the costuming thing, you know, because you have canon versus EU. And even outside cosplay groups, I mean, people, if they're into Star Wars, they're probably either EU or canon. Primarily.
Yes.
So, I mean, you know, you'll get some guys that are like, you know, if it didn't happen in the movies, it didn't happen.
I mean, well, that used to be the old argument, was that unless you are accurate to an actual movie portrayal, then you're not a real person.
Right. Well, yeah. And I mean, you know, maybe not so much in those words, but pretty close. And the fact that, yeah, if you weren't a, you know, a canon character, then you weren't worth trooping with. You know, so.
And that's changed. I mean, especially as, like, the 501st and Rebel Legion have opened up to EU characters, too.
Right.
As, you know, like, the visual references for, like, Republic Commandos and Aura Sing. I mean, you know, those characters that were on the very fringes of the movies or not even in them have started being accepted. I think that's helped change things, too.
Well, and a lot of what's helped, too, is the fact that we do have so many 501st members and Rebel Legion members that are also Mercs members. I mean, you know, the Legion membership officer, Brian Anderson, he's been a Mercs member for, you know, over a year now, and with two different costumes, with two different, you know, with a Boba Fett and with a Pre Vizsla. So that helps out a lot when we share membership like that. We're able to, you know, we're able to help change some of those attitudes because people know what the Mercs is like from the inside then, and they're not just looking on the outside looking in and judging without really knowing. So.
Yeah,
we're not just a bunch of Klingons.
Another
we're
person not. Who's actually done a lot to help the Mercs rep is actually Todd Lacey has done quite a bit down here to help us out with our image because he's been a long time member of Mercs. He's actually been here since before I was, and he just got CO down here about a year ago, and it has drastically improved our relations visibly.
Oh yeah, I agree. Todd's definitely had a whole lot to do with. With getting the Merc's name, you know, in a better light, because he's also been a member of the 501st for so many years, and he's very well respected in the Legion, so that helps, you know, to have those kind of connections and have those kind of people as members of Merc's. You know, they know what the Merc's are about, you know, and they can tell our story to the people in the Legion that, you know, that don't know it or that may have misconceptions, and they can set them straight where I can't do that because I'm not in the Legion, you know. As many times as I've wanted to go in and say, hey, look, you guys are wrong, you know, I can't do that, so.
Yeah. But, I mean, we're all just here to help out and have fun, yep. So.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I think that wins over any kind of opposition to that idea.
Oh, yeah. Well, we're all here because we love Star Wars, and we're all here because we love dressing up, and we're all here because we enjoy doing the charity work. I mean, I don't care what anybody says. People say, well, I'm just here to costume. But if you're attending charity events, then you're obviously – that has to weigh in to some amount to, you know, to what you're doing. So, you know, and we have to look at those three things, and all of us, as far as groups go, Star Wars, you know, costume groups, we're all doing those same things. So,
yep. I mean, I personally am here for the women, but the charity aspect does factor into it as well.
Eric.
Well, it has worked out for you.
I was about to say, and sadly, that's actually a true statement, sort of.
So looking ahead to the rest of 2012, we have a few big things. Obviously, Celebration 6 in Orlando. More upcoming is the 3D releases earlier this year. We'll be starting with The Phantom Menace. I think it's in February?
February the 10th.
February 10th.
So clams,
get out there and troop.
Get out there and troop it. Get out there and troop it. You know, call
your nearest Walmart.
Yeah. call.
Do you think they're taking too long between them, though?
I don't know. I don't know.
A year? No, that's out. Fine.
Yeah.
It's well, it's year. A year between each episode. So, like, we'll be seeing Return of the Jedi in, what, like,
2014.
18? No.
It's year between. No, oh, you're right. You're
six,
right. Yeah, yeah.
There are six now, Tom.
You're right. Sorry. I'm like, oh, well,
I hope you caught on.
Yeah, you're right. It would be about 2018. But, you know, that's the same way they did the special edition when they released the special edition way back and when they released the original. Yeah, when they released the prequel trilogy, it was a year apart as well, I believe. Well, no, it was more than a year apart for the prequel.
No, the prequel trilogy was 2 to 3 years, but editions in 97, they came out like a month apart.
No, they weren't a month apart. They were released on their release days from their respective years. So they were released, it was like, one was about 8, I think it was like 4 and then 6. So it wasn't very even.
Oh, okay. I just remember why I was in the Navy. I was in the Navy, yeah. I watched them in the IMAX theater. But I don't think a year's that long. I mean, it gives people something to look forward to. And, you know, we've got the last season of Clone Wars is this year as well. Well, supposedly, the 5th season of Clone Wars. We don't know if that's the last season yet. But the 5th season of Clone Wars is this year. And then I think, don't we have another cartoon coming out by Seth Green? Pretty soon,
ostensibly. Yeah, they've talked about it. I don't haven't heard anything about it in quite a while.
I know they gave it a thumbs up, but I don't know when it's coming out. So,
yeah. Hey, I mean, I'm fine with a Star Wars robot chicken once a week thing.
I don't see the Clone Wars as ending anytime soon, really. I mean, it's quite popular with a lot of the kids.
Yes.
Yeah, so. I don't.
And it's actually a good thing. Like, something I've noticed is that I have a couple of friends who have children, which makes me feel really old. I started doing this when I was 15, guys. I'm not ready for this. They all love Star Wars stuff. Like, they've got Star Wars backpacks, Star Wars binders, Star Wars this, that, and the other, Star Wars themed birthday parties, and it's all Clone Wars related. So those of you who were naysaying the Clone Wars back in the day, you can shut up, because the next generation of Star Wars kids are going to come from the Clone Wars, not from the movies.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's also good that the movies are coming out again, because it lets the new generations go and actually experience it in the full theater.
Well, that's what I do it every 15 years.
In the 3D experience.
Well, I just meant in a theater environment. It's completely different than just watching it in your living room on your TV.
I wish they'd bring them out without the 3D, man. I would love to just see them again in the theater in their regular format.
You can get glasses that actually convert it back to 2D, but I think we're starting to get off topic.
I mean, there's plenty of editing that can go on here. I haven't made my racial epithet yet for today.
We'll keep it that way.
Tom made it for me. Yeah, I don't even have to.
Tom did it for you. My listeners may have been with all that. Anyway, C6th in Orlando.
In Orlando?
We're going to have a special Mercs dinner there. It's going to be the birthday bash. If you want to get in on that, you should go and buy your tickets now in the store. Yes,
hurry, get your tickets, because we can't have the birthday blast without you buying tickets. So buy your tickets.
How much are they?
Well, if you get the buffet ticket, with the buffet in the event, it's $40 for adults. I think it's $20 for children. Adults get, as an adult, you get a goodie bag that's got some special Mercs C6 memorabilia in it that you can only get at C6. It's not stuff we'll be, you know, we probably will never, we won't ever sell the stuff. You will only be able to get it at C6, and if you don't get it at C6, you better find somebody who can trade for it or whatever. But and then you can also get a ticket without the buffet, just an event ticket, and I believe that is $25 for an adult. Yeah, and I think it's like, is it 15 for child?
It's 15 for the kid, yeah.
Okay, and that'll give you access to the birthday event, which runs from 8 to, I think it's 8 11. To 11. Yeah, yep. And then the buffet runs from 7 to 8.
Yeah, exactly. And you don't need to be a member to be in it.
No, you don't need to be a member. We're right now the tickets are on sale only for members, but We're going to be in February. We're going to be releasing the tickets to the general forum membership as well. So anybody who is on the forums, that's going to C6 that wants to come to the birthday bash, will be able to buy a ticket. And you know, so.
And we should say the tickets are so expensive because we're getting a really nice room and really nice food.
Yeah, and we're probably going to have a DJ, and we'll probably have, you know, like if you want to dance, if you're like a dancer, you know.
Yeah, this isn't us just going down to Applebee's. Like we're actually putting on an event.
We're not going down.
I'm not paying $40 for Applebee's.
We're not going to go down to Joe's Crab Shack and everybody get, you know, a low country boil. This is be a nice buffet. Low country.
It's fish.
Yeah, it's a fish.
Just fish.
But anyway, you know, it's going to be a nice event. We're going to have, you know, we'll have some VIPs there. We'll have some of our honorary members there, and you know we'll have get to see some Frost will be there, so you get to get his autograph. You know we'll have some there'll be some talking going on. I'm sure I'll have to you know say a couple things and that kind of stuff. So
and I think all of us are going, aren't we?
Well, I know I'm going. Yes. I don't know about you guys, but yeah,
I'm still trying to decide between buffet.
I'm going
and not,
if I have to like
definitely gonna
break
be there.
In. I'll go.
Well,
I don't see why I'd have to, but if I have to, I will.
Yeah, the fun part is that I'll be at C6, and I have to next weekend. I'll be at Dragon Con, so that's going to be.
Mm-hmm. You know, hey Tom, I have a question. I think it might be actually kind of cool to have like a clan that's coming. If they have a representative coming, send their banner with them with their clan logo on it. We can put it up at the dinner. Maybe
those would have to be really big tables.
No.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's possible. I mean,
no, because the way I have them designed, we could fold them up and then just like put them up on the wall.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant like the ones that we use in the parades, the big long ones.
Well, they're 6 feet long, yeah. They don't take up that much space.
Well, I'm sure
we'll figure out that 6 feet.
We can use them as a tablecloth. I mean,
use it as a table runner. Yeah, but I mean, I'm sure that's something we can take into account. You know, that's
man, you are married, table runner. For the record, this is actually what the armor parties in Talon Clan are like. It's Tom saying things that make him look silly, and then I point them out to him.
Has he worn flannel yet?
He has not yet worn flannel.
Only in the winter.
And never in public.
I wear a butcher smock in the shop when I'm working on
He does. It's unnerving.
Is it covered in red?
No, it is red. It's a red butcher smock. Yeah,
it's covered in red from all of my varying barnyard accidents.
Oh, jeez. Have you been swinging around that chain again?
No, I have not killed any meese today.
Hey, when you cut yourself, at least you didn't go and dip your hand in some Bondo again.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, no,
I still haven't gotten cancer, so clearly Tom's wrong.
And he hasn't fainted lately either, so that's a good thing.
Bondo's good for you, it seems. Keeps the hands moist.
So what else do we have to look forward to at C6?
I don't know, stuff.
Hopefully.
Time ever.
Yeah, we're working on our display as far as that goes, what we're going to do, and I've sent all that stuff into Mary Franklin. So we're hopefully going to have a really, really nice display. We've got several members and mercs that are working on that. A lot of different clans are going to be bringing in different pieces. So
we're going to have a bigger area this year, hopefully?
Hopefully. We're working on trying to have at least from anywhere from a 40 by 40 to a 50 by 50 area.
Awesome.
And that's a big area. And that's going to be our bunker for C6. So.
Our bunker. We're not a paramilitary organization. We promise, FBI.
Yeah. We are literally building a bunker, though. So.
Yeah, we are building a bunker, so it'll be pretty cool. So.
But it'll be plaster and wood, so don't worry.
Well, it won't be plaster, but yeah, it'll be wood and foam and that kind of stuff. So.
And steel.
And it will repel bullets.
Hopefully, we should have a good time.
Oh, yeah. So. I think it'll be fun. I think everybody will have a fun time. We had a really fun time at C5. I don't see why anybody wouldn't have a fun time at C6 unless you were just, you know, unless you're not there. So, so if you can get there, get there. If you have to, you know, I'm not going to say hitchhike, but...
Hitchhike.
If that's your preferred method of getting to C6, then, you know, have fun with it.
Start a month early.
Yeah.
Especially if you're far away. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if Saz could hitchhike over here, but
he could try.
He might be able to stow away. He could stow away.
Stowing away is a great way to get shot,
Saz working the kitchen duty on some fishing trawler going over.
Man, we're just ragging on Saz today.
Yeah, you guys.
I'm not hating on him. I think it would be kind of cool to stow away. It'd be kind of fun to stow away, as long as you don't get caught. You know, you could stow away in like in one of those crates, one of those, you know, like semi-trailer crates on a ship.
Tom, what did you do to stowaways in the Navy on your submarine?
I just hid in the outboards.
Please note, the Mandalore does not actually condone this action.
For the record, the Mandalorian Mercs does officially sponsor stowaways, apparently.
No, we don't.
No, not really. God.
Anyway,
moving along.
Anyone got anything else that isn't racially charged or
or illegal potentially?
I take no responsibility for any racial remarks from this podcast.
Just this one.
Just this one.
So that's it. Everybody done?
Yeah.
Anything else to talk about, guys?
Tor.
No.
We could mention the Ororamaked winner from last month.
Who was it from last? Oh, it was Oled Vart. That's right.
Yeah.
We actually,
and one last thing. I will. Sorry. And one last little item here. The November Ororamaked, since we took a little break, go ahead and report on that. The November winner was
Oled Vart, Rob Dawkins.
And he's our Alorad in Florida.
Yeah, he's Storm Warrior Clan's Alorad. So. He's been a Mercs member since 2007, and he's been a longtime member, and he's actually been their clan leader since 2007. So that's saying a lot too. So
old guy.
He's very much loved in Florida.
And he's actually the one that introduced me to Mercs. So
He's pretty much lived in Florida and nowhere else. No, I'm just kidding.
Not even by.
Well, if you have his way, that we would have a Mercs calendar. You know what I'm talking about.
What? And maybe I don't know if I want to. I don't know if I want to go into this
based calendar. You know,
it's going to be another edited conversation because it is. I don't want to waste it. So no, but he's a really cool guy. We're actually not doing a December Ororamaked because we've got to catch up for the last 3 months and get everybody up on the page and all that. So before we do the website, Now, the website is fixed now. We're on the new website, or should be. So we've got to update it, so we're not doing one for December so that we can update it. So
we haven't done one for December.
We're caught in a time quandary.
Yeah, we are. We're in a paradox, and I'm going to end up seeing myself in the same room with myself.
It's
and
bigger on the inside.
I'm going to end up destroying the space-time continuum because I'm in the same room as my voice. So.
I don't know if that's quite how it works.
I don't either, but it's fun to listen to. So,
yeah. So that's all we got for this time. We will check you. Or
we will check you out. Yeah.
Let me redo that. Jesus.
Wow.
Let's check you out next month.
That was a fail exit right there.
You've got Oled Vart on the line, don't you?
Yeah. We'll check
out Robert Dawkins next. So that's all we have for this edition of Keldabi Talk Radio. It's been fun. We will see you again in February with a brand new season. See you later, guys.
Check it out. Is this where the cheesy music comes on?
This has been a production of the Mandalorian Mercs Costume Club. If you'd like to learn more about the topics discussed on today's show, please visit www.mandalorianmercs.com. The Mandalorian Mercs is a worldwide Star Wars costuming organization comprised of and operated by Star Wars fans. Star Wars, its characters, costumes, and all associated items are intellectual property of Lucasfilm. Copyright 2009 Lucasfilm Limited. We hope you enjoyed our show, and we'd love to hear your feedback. Please email podcast@mercs.firespray.net. Until next time, happy hunting.
Damn.
Damn boy, yeah.
We did this post.